This is Tom Waddle on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast, sponsored by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
Barstool Big Cat. Host of Pardon My Take. And voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Well, that's been a while, and it's a nice reunion. Nice of Barstool Big Cat to drop by during these times right now. Big Cat joining his buddies Waddle and Sylvie. Big Cat, how the hell have you been?
Hello, friend.
I miss you guys. I'm happy to be on. I'm happy to hear your voices. I'm happy to hear that music and the random cat scratches and the meows. Yeah. It's good to be back. Let's get some energy going.
Yeah. Woo-wee.
You want me to start you with a really hard question?
Yes.
All right. So this is right up your alley. This is someone. Someone tweeted me this yesterday, but saving this for you. If you could sign a deal right now, it's this magical deal, and it would guarantee a full football season with no stumbling blocks. There would be no interruptions, no one getting sick. You get full football, start and end, but you have to sign away the Major League Baseball season, the NBA
Done.
Season, and
Done.
The NHL season.
Done.
Would you do it, or would you risk
Done.
It? You would do
Done.
It.
Done. In a second. I've actually, it's funny you asked that question because I've been struggling with this today, and I actually finally vocalized where I'm at with, like, sports. And, yes, I want NBA back, and, yes, I'm excited that the Blackhawks made the playoffs. But don't you guys feel like we're so programmed around the calendar that I was gutted when we lost March Madness? When we didn't have the Masters, it was the worst. When we had that day where I was like, this is the day it should be the Kentucky Derby and the NBA playoffs all in one day, it was the worst. But when you start going further along in the calendar, like once you get to the end of June, I'm not going to be looking like, oh, man, I remember, you know, last year this time I was watching the NBA playoffs because there weren't NBA playoffs then. So I think as much as I want sports back and I want them back as quickly as possible, there's this like normalization of it where once you get to July, you're really just watching the Cubs and waiting for football anyway. You know what I mean? So I would take that deal in a second.
What about, Sylvie, did you mention, is college football involved or is it just pro football?
We could play that game too, either way.
Oh, if it's college and pro, I'll sign that agreement as well.
Yeah,
as much as I love the other
pro.
Sports.
Now, you could still get that, but all I'm saying is you're risking it. So you could still get baseball. You could still get the NBA and NHL, but there's no guarantee that things are going to go smoothly with football.
Yeah, I'm at the point where I've just been in the acceptance point of the grief where it's, if the NBA season doesn't happen, let's just put this out there that I fully understand if you are a fan of a team that has a chance to win a title, it's a completely different story. If we were sitting here right now and the Bulls are one of the best teams in the East, we would not be having the same conversation. But given the fact that the Bulls stink and I do want the NBA to play the playoffs. I love the NBA, but I also have emotionally kind of gotten over the fact that, like, it's just everything's weird. And if they told me tomorrow that, hey, we'll see you Christmas Day for next year's NBA season, I'd be like, you know what? That stinks, but I understand.
Let me dive a little deeper on this as well. Not only are you guaranteeing me the football seasons, both college and pro, are going off as planned, okay? And it doesn't stop. That must mean we've made some sort of advancement or we have found something that keeps some sense of normalcy in play. So as I zoom out, I go, not only am I getting football, but this has to be a good sign of something. So there's even better times ahead.
Yes. Let's find a vaccine. Just do it. Just get in the lab and do it. Figure it out. That's
just
what I've been saying. And I know that's not how it works at all. But every now and then, like, I am open. If science needs me to come and give them a pump-up speech at any time, I will go down to Science HQ, wherever that may be, and be like, hey, guys, we really need you for this. We really need the football season to be here. So just put on your lab coats and find that vaccine.
Have you offered up your services just like people, the PR agencies pitch you? You should start pitching yourself for like pep talks
Hype
to
speeches.
Scientists. Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I'll be a test case. I don't care. I could be morale. I could do whatever they want. I will absolutely here and now. I will offer my brain, my body, my soul to science if it means that we can get football.
What if they look at you and say, no, we're good?
Yeah, that's probably what would happen. They'd be like, you know what? What's your weight? Okay. Yeah, probably too many underlying conditions. So thanks, but no thanks.
Hey, I know I'm going to expose myself up to grief for asking this question, but I ask it for many who are interested in and really want to know who's Coach Duggs.
Okay. All right. Good question. I'm happy you asked. So Coach Gus Duggerton is my video game alter ego that has been with me through the course of lockdown. So essentially when the day that they announced the March Madness tournament wasn't going to happen, I said to myself, well, this is bad and this is going to be a while. So I bought an Xbox 360. And for people who play video games, I don't really play video games anymore, but I remember playing this game. NCAA 14 was the last college football game they released before the Ed O'Bannon stuff and all and everything that went down, a game that everyone loves. So I bought three copies of that. I bought an Xbox 360, and I started playing as a fictional coach named Gus Duggerton, who is very fat and likes to throw the ball and likes to have a little bit of cutty in him, likes to throw it deep, likes nice. Never seen a pass he can't make. And then I've just been going. So I started as the Toledo offensive coordinator. I went to Florida State as the offensive coordinator. I went to USC as the offensive coordinator. I took the job at Texas Tech as a head coach, and now I'm at Tennessee as a head coach. And the fun part is all the schools have been involved. So, like, we have an official licensing deal now with Tennessee. Like, the official accounts, the coaches, they're all involved. And I'm getting, like, 50,000 people to watch me play a video game, and I feel so much pressure. But at least it feels like sports are back every now and then. So you got to tune in. I'm going to text you the link tonight. We have Tennessee versus Auburn tonight at 8 o'clock Central. You have to tune in.
Are you playing any defense, or are you just airing it out and looking to light up a scoreboard?
I am playing defense now, and it's a whole thing because I get anxious about it. A lot of people are criticizing me. People say I'm stupid. My clock management is quirky to say the least. I think I had a game against Florida the other day that, there's 8 seconds left, and I had saved all three of my timeouts, which was very smart of me. I fight
You're
with
no
people
Jim
in
Boylan.
The chat. Yeah, exactly. I'm no Jim Boylan. I fought last night with a guy named Poopy Stinks in the chat. Like that. Like I was just yelling at him. I'm a 35-year-old father, and I'm just screaming at a guy online while I play a video game that's 7 years old. So, yeah, but it's fun. I'm having a great time. You know what? It feels the gate days where I have a game, I feel like real sports are back. And we had 73,000 people watch me play. Texas Tech played in, I can't even remember. Oh, the Cotton Bowl. And then I decided I took the job at Tennessee right after. So 73,000 people at the same time tuned in to watch me take the Tennessee job. So it's fun. And it's just, it's silly, but it's also – it's something fun to have, on a Wednesday night when there's nothing going on, and I get myself hyped up and I get myself anxious and I have no composure as a coach, but it's great.
We sit here on the playground and we dream about like one day playing in an arena and being this, great athlete. And then who would have ever thought that you could just sit on your fat ass and have 73,000 people watching and cheering for you and your fictitious football coach. It's amazing.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I'll tell you guys a really funny story. It's been the best part about it has been all of the different programs kind of embracing it.
Yes.
And like when I was at USC, I talked to Graham Harrell, who's the offensive coordinator. I took the job at Texas Tech, and the AD at Texas Tech has a weekly radio show, and they asked me to come on. So I went on, and they acted like it was real, and it was very fun. And the AD at Texas Tech, he's like, I don't know, probably 60, 70-year-old guy, very nice guy, but no sarcasm whatsoever. Deadpan as can be, asking as genuine as possible, says to me, So you're a big Bears fan. Have you ever thought what it would be like if the Bears had taken Patrick Mahomes? And I just was like, are you kidding me right now? And he wasn't being a jerk about it. He was actually asking me. And I was like, yes, I have thought about that from time to time. Thank you so much, Texas Tech AD.
Oh, my. Did you see it, like an analytic? What was it, Abdal? Was it some? Oh, it was Chris Sims came out with his list. Mitch is ranked 38th out of all the quarterbacks in the NFL.
Oh, man. Nick Foles is our quarterback, right? Although, you know, who cares? As long as football plays, I don't care. Just
who cares?
One of
what happened to you?
Just give me football. I don't care who plays quarterback. They're probably both going to stink. Give me football. That's all I care about. Bears. You know what? I actually had a dream the other night. This is when I say I'm an acceptance of no sports. I realize I'm not, because I had a dream that the Bears won one game next year and they got Trevor Lawrence and all was right in the world.
I was going to ask you if you were going to bet the total, which side would you be on?
For what? The Bears over under?
Yes, the wins.
What is it at right now? What was it?
What's it at, Abdallah?
Eight.
It's at eight.
Eight? I would actually take the over. I honestly would, because if the Bears have even average offense next year, like, their defense was still very good last year. How many games did they win or did they lose where they gave up, you know, they gave up, what, 10 points to the Packers? They gave up 17 points to the Chargers. They go up 10 points or whatever it was to the Rams. So those flip, if you have even an average offense, I absolutely think the Bears can win 9-10 games next year with just, like, I'm not even talking about good quarterback play. I'm talking about competent
average
quarterback play. Yeah. Right.
You know, speaking of the coaches, while we're on Coach Doug's, which is just an unbelievable, it just shows you how great and big you are these days. What did you think of Ed Orgeron and the jog? I mean, pretty impressive, huh?
Yeah. So the backstory there, it was a hilarious video. But when we interviewed him a couple of years ago, we asked him about that because I guess he's famous to do that. He only runs in the hottest part of the day. So he likes to go out. I think that was at a beach town, but he likes to go out in Baton Rouge, literally in the middle of the day, like 1 o'clock, right out, you know, the absolute hottest. And he said that he's got to be a tiger and to be a champion, you got to become friends with the sun and you got to embrace the sun. He calls the sun Ray Baker. That's his nickname for the sun, Ray Baker. And he's like, you got to just be friends with it. You got to embrace it. You got to know Ray Baker. You got to become friends with Ray Baker. And then you can, like, you know, harness the power of the sun. I think he actually has invented solar power now that I'm saying it. But he's a legend. I love him.
Yeah. I saw you also, you're catching things from stories above you. Was that today when you caught the egg?
Yes. Did you like that catch, soft hand? Did you ever do that?
That was fantastic because I saw your technique was beautiful because as the egg came about, what, six or seven stories down, you gave with it. When the egg hit your hand, you let your hand
fall. Explain this.
Fall.
What are you guys talking about? Yeah. I didn't see this.
All right. So I do 2 hours of radio every day on Sirius, and my co-host lives a block away. So I just walk over to his house every day, and we do it from his apartment. Last week, I leave his apartment, and he calls me. I'm in the lobby and he's like, hey, you forgot your AirPods. And he's on the fifth floor. And I said, you know what? Just drop them to me. Like, I'll feel alive for a minute. You know what I mean? Like, this is a gamble. And he dropped them and I caught him. And everyone was like, that was electric. So now today I said, let's do an egg, uncooked. And I did it again. I caught it again. Electric.
It was great.
But the problem is, you know how my mind works. Where do we stop? I don't think we're going to stop till one of us smashes our phone. Yeah, piano. I said I would try a knife. I wouldn't absolutely go for it, but I'd try it. But let me tell you, this is what it feels like. This is, you know, when you don't have gambling, when you don't have that rush of watching sports, dropping things to each other off of five-story balconies, I'll tell you, you don't knock it till you try it.
Okay, I got a suggestion for you. Next time you do it, also have somebody that will hit you and tackle you into like a mattress that's like 5 feet in front of you to see if you can hang on to it.
This is jackass all of a sudden.
Yeah. See if you can hang on to it.
Pretty much. Yeah, what if I call a fair catch, though? Would I be okay?
No. You can't catch a call a fair catch on this. It's not a punt. It's a pass.
What about, like, a watermelon? Would you do a watermelon?
Oh, that's too heavy. It'd break your hand.
I think it would hurt. But I think I could get it if I really wrapped it up. If I caught a watermelon with my whole body, I think I could do it.
But see, nice. I want to see how you handle the pressure of knowing someone's going to clean your clock as soon as whatever it is touches your hands. So I want to see a mattress like a foot in front of you, and you know here comes whatever it's coming down there, but you know somebody's going to drill you as soon as it touches your hands.
I mean,
I want to see that.
If we're trying to up the ante, I kind of like what you're saying right now. I like the feel of that.
Yeah. New TV show, five floors high or something like that. Five stories. You know, and then you could do all these new things.
How about catch this?
There you go.
All right. And I think next week we're going to do a hot dog where I have a bun and he drops a single hot dog and I try to catch it in the bun.
All right, that's weird.
That's going to be hard.
You've done that before.
You know, here's what... We have missed so much over the weeks that you've not been on. We missed all of Last Dance together. Mm-hmm. We got to get... I wanted your thoughts on Last Dance. There was the biggest Hollywood breakup that we've seen in years happen. I want to get your thoughts on that. We got to catch up with Big Cat. More with him next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, catching up with our old friend, Barstool Big Cat, Waddle and Sylvie. And I missed you so much during the Last Dance each and every week.
I know.
That would have been perfect. What was your biggest takeaway? What was your biggest takeaway?
My biggest takeaway was, in true MJ fashion, he basically did an entire documentary to settle grudges. And I think half of it was just to bash Isaiah some more. So I love that. Like, it's a total throwback. And I know that I know MJ said beforehand that he wasn't going to come across so great, but I actually, you know, of course he saw the horror stuff and I know Scotty was mad. But that's also MJ fashion. Like, he doesn't really have friends. He doesn't really get along with people he played and won those championships with. And yeah, it was maybe a little slanted towards Michael, and it made him look a little better in spots and maybe not the whole truth, but I don't care. It was great. It was great to watch. It was great to see all those highlights. And it was great to, he's such a great interview and you never get to see MJ talk. Right. So just seeing him talk and seeing him react to the things on the iPad, which was brilliant. I loved it all. I mean, I wish it went on. I think they could have gone for 20 episodes. You know, there was a few times where I was like, ooh, give me more about this. Give me more about that.
Was there anything that you learned that you didn't already know?
I mean, I guess not really. It was a lot of stuff that wasn't meant for people who like are obsessive Bulls and MJ fans. You know what I mean? Like, it was meant for the greater country. I saw a lot of people didn't really know all of Steve Kerr's story when they saw it. I'm trying to think if there was anything specific. I kind of forgot how much Horace and MJ hate each other. Like, I don't know why I like over the years thought like, oh, you know, they won together. So it's kind of in the past, but I sort of forgot how much they really do have disdain for each other. So that was a little, that was a little like eye opening. And then I guess the only complaint I really had, was I feel like Reinsdorf got off a little bit. I feel like Jerry Krause got a lot of the blame, but none of that really happens unless the owner emboldens someone like Jerry Krause. And I just feel like maybe in that one clip where MJ saw Reinsdorf talking about how he wanted everyone back and he laughed at that and was like, absolutely not. But I thought for the most part, he kind of got away with it a little bit.
He's always like, well, Jerry wanted to do it this way. You're the owner, dude. You could have stopped everything
right
at any time.
Right. And he definitely, you know, he let Jerry Krause kind of have the rule of the place. It also was great to see Paxton get a little bit of a nice bump, because it's been obviously a tough, you know, go of it with the Bulls for him. So it was nice to see him have those you know, the moments where he was a legend. And it was interesting to see how he reacted to how he kind of told the story about Jerry Krause trying to get into the locker room. And it's like you're basically telling the story about your run with the Bulls and how you had an adversarial relationship right. with players and coaches. And I thought that was very interesting, kind of inside Bulls stuff.
I thought, like, my own leave it to me. There's 10 episodes, and the little clip of Jordan talking to Bird was my favorite thing after they beat him in the Eastern Conference Finals. And Jordan said what he said to Larry. That to me was my, like, in a just a snapshot, my favorite snapshot of the whole docuseries.
That was so good. And I loved, obviously, all the stuff with the Smith brothers. And you realize just how crushing the celebrity of being Michael Jordan is and how he doesn't really have friends. You know, it's the security guards, the United Center. And it's not even his teammates. And how much that must wear on someone mentally to be in that fishbowl constantly. And that's probably why he's an obsessive golfer. How, by the way, not to segue, but how badly do you guys want to see MJ in one of these, the matches with Tiger and Phil? How incredible would that be?
It would be great. It would be fantastic, especially with him and Tiger together. Yeah. Then you get another guy that he supposedly has a rival. Bring Barkley, you know, or at Barkley, just interview him because of the way that's going. It would be, I thought, did you love the golf?
I liked it. I didn't love it, but it was also, I need something to watch. You know, the line I've been saying is I've been watching the German soccer league. I just need to see a ball moving around on my screen. You know what I mean? Like some grass and a ball going back and forth. And it just, that feels good. So
there was a joke there. I let it go.
I wish they had gone in on each other a little bit more, but I thought it was interesting. And I loved Phil explaining the game and everything. And just any sport, anything that we can look forward to, I'm all for.
So where were you? This is, for me, this is a where were you moment when you found out that Jay and Kristen broke up.
Oh, I think I was out walking because basically my days are spent doing the exact same thing and then taking like a walk every 2 hours.
We were out looking at the Swans. I'll never forget it. And I got the text and I'm like, oh my gosh, Jay and Kristen.
Love is dead. So I think I was out walking, and I looked at my phone when I got back and saw I had a ton of texts. Obviously sad, but I've spoken out, and I have a relationship with Jay, so I'm not totally unbiased, but I do think it is a little cheap of Kristen the way she's been playing it, where she asked for privacy, and then every single week has leaked some type of story making Jay seem like he's a bad guy. And guess what? The reality of it is, if Jay was actually a bad guy, you'd hear a worse story than Jay was a little lazy and sat on the couch. So that's more, she's kind of telling on herself when those stories come out. Right. And it's like, yeah, can you believe this? Jay wanted to kind of hang out for a little bit after spending the last 10 years getting his body bashed in by defensive linemen in the NFL.
They've gone silent, haven't they? I mean, like, when was the last time? Wasn't it? Was it Mother's Day where it was assumed that she tweeted from the, if Jay had an Instagram account or she,
yeah,
she sent
that
message?
They have gone, well, I think they've gone silent because I think Kristen realized that, like, this wasn't going to work. She was trying to play it out in the press, and people were like, this is ridiculous. You can't ask for privacy and then start leaking stories every other day. So I hope they figure it out. I hope it all works out because there's kids involved, and that's always kind of, you know, sad and always going to be a little bit more difficult. So, I hope Jay bounces back. I'm sure he will, knowing him, and maybe he'll come back and play football. Would you guys want him as a quarterback this year for the Bears?
You don't care as long as you have football.
That's true. I don't care as long as they get football. You guys not have the same like mindset of without sports, I will take any sports, and I don't care how I get them. And if you told me right now, like, you know, Mitch is going to play all season and going to be bad again, but we get a full football season, like, you know what, I'll take one for the team. I'll take one for America. Let's do it. Let's just get football back.
Dude, we've been taking one for the team. For 48 years with a quarterback. I'm tired of taking it for the team.
What if we got to take one for the team, but then we got Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, don't be so selfish, Sylvie. Take it for the team for another year. Yeah. Just one more year.
Yeah, what's one more year? You know, we're used to it.
One more year. One more year.
Well, listen. If it goes south again and both quarterbacks are not good, you may have to call Coach Dougs because you may be looking for somebody.
It's a full-on restart, right? Everyone's gone, and we just do it all over again? What did you say?
I don't know. You know, it's a really interesting question because, you know, you go 12-4 Coach of the Year, 8-8, although I've said it felt like 5-11 or 6-10 to me, but it was 8-8. I think people are going to give coaches – I don't think you're going to see many firings in sports after this year, regardless of the sport, because I think that everyone's going to give underperforming teams and coaches a pass because of the situation we find ourselves in. Whether or not that's warranted is a different discussion, but I think that the COVID excuse is going to be one for keeping people around and not making changes, I think.
You're probably right, but it just, if it goes really, really bad, because you're right, like 8-8, but it didn't feel like 8-8 last year. If it goes really bad, and maybe it's not even we're not talking about the coach. Maybe right. It's just we're talking about Ryan Pace because, you know, the drafts haven't been great. They haven't been total knock. You know, it hasn't been, you know, a refilling of talent here. You know, there's been some good draft picks, but it hasn't been like everything's been knocked out of the park. And guess what? Even if you have great draft picks behind Mitch, that's the one people are always going to remember because that's the one you staked your reputation on.
Really quick, are you team owners or team players?
Team players. Don't let the owners spin this narrative, and we're talking about baseball now. Don't let them tell you that they're losing all this money and that all the players need to take insane pay cuts. Because I think the owners just want to have this be a labor dispute. This isn't even about coronavirus anymore. It's a straight-up labor dispute. And unless the owners want to give full transparency on exactly to the dollar how much money they're going to lose, I will not buy it that they are losing as much as they say they're losing.
Amen. Yes.
Show them their books.
I've
Show
been
them
passionate.
Your books. They're going like, to start
that's
spinning.
The
Don't
easy,
let it happen.
That's the, isn't that the easiest question in the world to answer?
Right.
Hey, are you team owner or are you team players?
No, because I think with what we're up against with COVID and people losing jobs, when people hear the narrative of a millionaire complaining about his salary, they lose automatically. Do you know what I mean? Instead of the owner getting the blame.
Right. And it's the owners have kind of dictated the negotiation where like, well, we have a deal on the table and you guys have to accept it. So now it's the players holding it up, but that's not really how it's gone because the players never would have accepted this deal because it's a bad deal. So they're doing their thing where they're trying to spin the narrative as much as they can. Stay strong. We're smarter than that. 20 years ago, we might not have been smarter than that, but we're smarter than that to know this is the owners have to either be fully transparent or they have to cut it out and stop with the insane pay cuts that they're making everyone take.
Hey, cut it out over there. You guys cut it out.
Cut
Calm
it out.
Down. Be quiet over
cut
there.
It out.
Cut it out.
You heard me pause there. I'm not used to being with you guys and watching my language. That was a pause, a mental pause, and I did a good job.
So well done, how old is your son now, 17?
He's actually he's headed off to college. No, he's going to be he's going to be 1 year old in 3 weeks.
That's
so
awesome.
Getting close to walking, getting all that stuff. That is the one silver lining is being able to see all the little, like, you know, day to day, how much he grows and how much things change has been cool because I wouldn't have been around as much if it were normal times and I was traveling for the tournament and all these other things.
Are the horses running tonight as well, or just your video games?
Yes, horses and video games. Come on. I love, by the way, just to put a full bookend on it, when you guys have me on, you're like, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm good. I'm playing video games. I'm dropping things from balconies, and I got fake toy horse races going on. I'm good. I'm good. I'm basically talking to myself all the time. But
something tells me that even if we weren't caught in a pandemic, a lot of this stuff would still be going on in
the
world.
That's true. I'm always down to drop some stuff and try to catch it from a high distance.
Big Cat, you're the best. Thanks for popping awesome. On with us, okay?
Thanks, brother.
All right. Thanks, guys. Love you guys.
There he is, our guy, Barstool Big Cat. Hey, Waddle, the owners have won the first battle in Major League Baseball. The players are fighting, and now they're publicly fighting. And a player, a prominent player, just tweeted about it. And he's giving you an inside look at baseball. We'll tell you what he said coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Phone number to reach us, 312-332-3776. We're going to talk some Bears in a little bit, but did you see Waddle? Trevor Bauer, who is one of my favorite follows now on Twitter, he is probably one of the most outspoken athletes out there. He is on your Cincinnati Reds these days.
Yeah, you don't want Trevor Bauer bringing the heat to you guys, so.
Right, I saw him pitching yesterday. And
Listen, you're never going to wonder what's on his mind. He's going to tell you.
He tweeted 10 minutes ago while we were talking to Barstool Big Cat. He said, hearing a lot of rumors about a certain player agent meddling in MLBPA affairs. If true, and at this point, these are only rumors, I have one thing to say. Scott Boras, rep your clients however you want to, but keep your damn personal agenda out of union business. Now, this is exactly what the owners want, isn't it? I mean, they want the players fighting amongst each other.
I would think from a negotiating perspective, yes. It's the same thing. Listen, it connected at least in a small way to what the NFL owners did. The NFL owners, listen, they got stuff. The CBA that the NFL players agreed to is an improvement on a bad one from years ago. But what they sold it as is something that is going to positively affect the largest number of people. And that's like, you know, the lower paid group. And those guys were all getting about $100,000 raise, and all you needed was 51%. And the majority of the players are the lower paid guys. All you had to do was kind of, and pander's the wrong word, but appeal to them, and you knew you had a very good chance of passing something that I would think that the owners collectively in the NFL felt was a good deal for them. And I think that this is kind of a similar type of approach, that what they did is they pandered with lesser pay cuts to the lower paid players to maybe sow seeds of discord amongst the players themselves. Negotiating tactic. Now, that's a cynical perspective, but in negotiations, I think you're probably more spot on being cynical than you are being the opposite of cynical.
But Trevor Bauer is a pretty highly paid player these days, isn't he?
So yeah, I think he makes a bunch.
So if you have an agent meddling who represents the highest paid players, like Scott Boras, what problem do you think?
Maybe Trevor Bauer is for, hey, listen, I make a ton of money. I got a lot of money. This sucks, but I'm willing to. I want to play baseball. I want to pitch because I love my Reds, and I'm going to make a couple mil dough, and I'm going to play. So, you know what? I'm willing to. Maybe he has a different perspective than some of the other comparably paid players that Scott Boras is repping. I don't know, but you kind of asked me to speculate. That would be my speculation.
How much can you look up, Abdallah, how much Scott Boras,
Trevor Bauer is scheduled to make $17 million this year, $17.5 million this year. So he would, based on the proposal.
So the owners want him to play for $8.
For
right?
$7.84, yes. Move that decimal point. $7.84 million is about what he would get. So he'd take a $10 million pay cut.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. People, like, you're never going to get everybody to agree on the same thing, right? But right. It should be, but everybody that is like, oh, well, they should just play. Like, you're going to get the guy to agree that is out of work, that the player should just, you know, that Trevor Bauer should be happy making $7 million. Right. But if I told anybody else working that you should take an 80% pay cut when the billionaires are still going to be billionaires at the end of the day. It's ridiculous.
I'm not telling these guys what they should do. I mean, they've earned the right to make their decision. You make $17 million because you have a unique skill that 99.9% of the people on this planet don't have. And I don't grudge any of them for getting whatever the market is willing to bear. Not at all. Not one bit. They have the capacity, if they want, they could basically, they say, you know what? We'll see you next fall. We're not going to play for this.
Maybe some of the stars will do that.
They may.
You know, maybe Mike Trout says, it's not worth it for me. I'll see you next year. There's too much risk health-wise. Like you've said, where the owners can always hide behind the theory of, well, there's too much to risk health-wise. If they want him to take this 70% pay cut, he or someone else, what's his name, who put for the Yankees?
Garrett Cole.
Garrett Cole has, I think his wife is pregnant with twins.
And so is Trout's. Wife is also pregnant, too.
So you could say, like, it's just not worth it for me. Not worth it.
Yeah, that's their right. I mean, they're not going to get paid, but they're more financially sound than most, so they could live without a paycheck this year.
Here's a
definitely
a line.
An option.
I want to read you a line from this, too, from Ken Rosenthal's article about where an agent, though, thinks Major League Baseball owners is screwing this thing up and where he thinks the players will be united. If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776, plus Michael Wilbon, Can't Miss Radio at 5 o'clock.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
That's right. Everyone loves the Twitch channel. So check that out, twitch.tv. And our channel is ESPN 1000 Chicago. Maybe Waddle can invent like a fake coach and play a video game. Tecmobile, you can
play. I don't have that kind of ingenuity or energy.
You have the energy, I think.
Not for a fake coach to play video games.
You could be Coach Ditka too.
Play coach, 93. Coach. I'm coach.
Tecmobile.
Coach.
What was it, 93?
Tecmobile.
Super Tecmobile?
I think it was back then, yeah. That's something for Governor Abdallah to look into. He's younger. He's
Governor
got more energy
Abdallah.
Than me.
The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. There's never been a better time in history for a cash-out refinance. Get pre-approved for your cash-out refinance today. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Ryan Kelly is the absolute best, guys. Check him out today. I just refinanced at the Home Loan Expert. com.
I know every day I tune into this show, you're going to tell me how to, A, get a lower rate on my mortgage, which is very helpful, and how I could clean up the shrubbery. And I think that those are two very important things.
They are. I mean, look, you've got to take care of yourself.
Yes.
You got to take care of your house. Maybe the same.
Yep. I'm going to buy myself one of those things for Father's Day.
You should. You know what they just came out with, too, is the
Lawnmower 4.0?
No, the ear and nose trimmer.
I definitely knew that, I could probably feel a little different giving that to my dad than saying, hey, Dad, why don't you trim below the Mason-Dixon line?
You know, Ruth has been hinting, clean up downstairs.
I just puked, not a little bit, in my mouth. I just full vomited in my mouth.
But they're like, when close talking was a thing, when you could have a conversation face-to-face with someone, and it was someone you would respect, and they would have just this long hair hanging out of their nostril.
Well, that's me now.
Is it like, I'm not talking about during quarantine season.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when you're usually groomed, but there's always the guy who never looks in the mirror and sees that the ear hairs are, it's like a party streamer.
Yeah.
And it's like what I always say, if I could see it, why can't you?
Yeah. Like I've had a nose hair before that small kids could probably use as a jump rope. I mean, like that has happened to me recently.
It's like the climbing rope in physical
absolutely.
PE class.
Yeah.
Well, then why don't you take care of that?
I do. It's just every now and again, like you probably go a day or two sometimes without noticing it. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah. Wow. There you go. Yeah. Or you're doing the old band thing by putting your finger in your ear, trying to, scratch your ear, and you feel like three or four long hairs inside your ear.
You've got to take care of that.
Please.
Yeah,
this is horrible.
That. Trevor Bauer, by the way, since his last tweet, has since added the Boris Corporation. He said he didn't know that Scott Boris had a Twitter account. Now that I know, at Boris Corp. So he's going after the way Scott Boris is being involved.
What do you think that his beef with Boris is then?
I don't know. but I know this is exactly what the owners wanted.
Of course. I sent you guys a text when it first came out. I go, dirty pull. They're doing this on purpose, trying to divide the crew as much as they can.
It's good negotiating. I don't know if it's dirty pull. I think it's a good negotiating ploy.
I mean, listen, I hope to be rich one day so I can own a team, and then you can yell at me for being a rich bastard, and I don't care about anything. Like, hopefully I'll own my team and I'll be willing to, you know, fulfill my obligations to the things I agreed to. But, like, I'm mad at the owners because I want to be one of them at some point. Like, isn't that one of your goals, is to be so successful that maybe not everybody, because money's not everything to other people, but, like, I don't get into whatever I get into to, you know, I want to win. I want to be successful. I'd like to be able to purchase the Cincinnati Reds at some point.
Right.
It won't happen.
I'm not mad at the owners. I'm mad that the players are getting blamed.
Right. You're mad at people that are blaming the players.
So, like, thinking that it's only the players' responsibility and that the owners should never take losses. Like, that the owners need help. They need help. You know, and if it's not for the players don't realize, because America's going through really tough times. So then a player who's making $35 million should understand they should only get $8 million, because you know how much $8 million is? $8 million is a lot of money. Do you know how many families that could feed? That's all true. But it's not apples to apples in this case. It's just not. Andy's in New Lenox. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
So I know it's not apples to apples, but this isn't a time where things are normal. There's a big part of me that doesn't even want the MLB to come back, because I want them to realize that, like, what they're doing is driving people insane. And it's the MLB that constantly creates these own problems for themselves. And I don't understand it. It's just so frustrating. It's like telling a child, don't put your finger in the outlet. Don't put the finger in the outlet. You're going to get shocked. You're going to get shocked. And then they get shocked and everyone's upset. It's like when you go back, oh, well, we have to shorten these games because no one's watching the games. Well, you have to sit there and watch 4 hours of the baseball game because you don't want to make your highlights available to people on Twitter, where every person gets their news almost. So it's like they create these problems on their own. And, like, I'm never going to be like, take the owner side over the players. I'm with the players. But they need to understand that at this point, there's 36 million people out of debt, or not out of debt, but out of work. And if you can't come to play baseball, play a game for at least $262,000, then you know what? Like,
we lost Andy. But see,
I think one of the owners cut him off.
This is the exact, that was my exact argument. He spoke for 2 minutes. And then he said the exact thing that I, like, rage against.
See, like, I don't hold the players. Look, this is what you do, okay? This is your job. You have a short period of time to gather whatever it is you're going to get. Like, I don't begrudge the players for, even in a pandemic, fighting for what's best for them and their families. This is the capitalist society we live in. And it's not appealing to a lot of people. I get it. But, like, I'm not going to hate on the players for looking after their own business.
Right, right. And then the one thing that Ken Rosenthal said, that one agent said, that the owners aren't taking into account. In a negotiation with, like, a collective bargaining agreement, most players are getting their salary already. They're already got their personal service contracts taken care of, so they're not worried about what the next 10 years will look like. But this is affecting everyone's salary for this year.
Right.
So everyone has a stake in it, and everyone's pretty passionate about it.
Well, I would say, too, look, there's a negotiation that will take place going forward. And, you know, what do they say? Penny wise, pound foolish, whatever the case may be. You have to take it into consideration. And like, I just don't lean on the argument, well, the owners are going to try to stick it to you anyway. Look, if you do show the willingness to come to terms with certain things, it may pay dividends for you going forward. That's something I guarantee you that the agents are telling their players right now.
Tell us first about golf with Yurko.
It's one of the most fun things I think you would ever want to do. Golf course is open, as we've heard, and it is time to golf. The weather has been glorious. And our guys from Prop Swap are sponsoring something called Golf with Yurko. It's a contest this month. You and a buddy can spend the day golfing with a good kid and perhaps even consume an icy cold beverage or two. But you're going to have fun if you win this contest. You can register on our contest page through May 31st, so only a few more days. No purchase is necessary. All you have to do is sign up to win. For all the official rules, go to ESPNChicagoContest.com. That's ESPNChicagoContest.com. If you love golf, even if you don't love golf, being able to spend 4 or 5 hours on the course with a good kid is well worth your effort.
Luke and Ian are the best. Check them out at Prop Swap today and learn all about their site. We're back in 2 minutes with Can't Miss Radio with Michael Wilbon.